Afternoon, everybody. Welcome to my show, The Church of the Soul's Evolution, soon to be changed to the Universe of the Soul's Evolution. And the reason why I'm changing it to that name is because when I was on this recent cruise that my wife and I took back at the beginning of December, we went from Miami to Grand Turk to the Dominican Republic and to Nassau in the Bahamas. There was a man I spoke with about my radio show, and I told him the title, The Church of the Soul's Evolution, and he said, well, I'm not really into religion. I'm more into spirituality. And I thought to myself, well, that's what my show's about, spirituality, religion. I mean, I see the value of religion. It's a stepping stone. It has been for me to get where I am today, but it is not what my show's about. It's all about spirituality. And my point when I came up with that title was to say there's so many church of this, church of that. Really, we're here on Earth, on this planet, in our galaxy, as spirits in the material world. That's not who we are. We existed prior to being born. We just can't remember our pre-existence and the universal knowledge we had access to as spirits in this spiritual world. Because when we were born into this world, we were made to forget. A very neat thing that is possible through what they call the river of oblivion. That when we're born into the world, the memories are erased of our past life and the universal knowledge that we have access to. Once we pass away and transition to the afterlife and to that spiritual realm, then immediately there will be a remembering of who we were, and all the answers to our questions will become immediately available. I'm telling you the truth. That's what will happen. And so I'm changing the show's name to The Universe of the Soul's Evolution, because it is indeed what this show is about, spirituality. And that's who we are. We are souls on a journey throughout the universe. And we have a lot of brothers and sisters in spirit out there in the bodies of other extraterrestrial beings, all kinds, thousands of different varieties that are out there. I'm telling you the truth. There are so many different kinds of extraterrestrials. It's really incomprehensible just how teeming the universe is with life. Let me say that again. It's incomprehensible just to understand just how teeming the universe is with life. Absolutely teeming. Life is the norm, not the exception. And as I have done before, I'm going to take a drink. As I have done before, I'll remind you again that one really good brand of YouTube video that you should watch that I don't 100% agree with, but the information they have is so complicated and complex and very interesting and certainly possible, some of it, although it kind of conflicts in different ways with my beliefs. And I haven't seen any videos of exactly what I believe in. They're called Astral Legends TV, A-S-T-R-A-L, like the astral body, Legends TV. They've got a whole bunch of videos, and they're always coming up with some really interesting information, including five videos that have what they say, the extraterrestrials that we know, they don't say we believe, that we know exist. Some in our Milky Way galaxy, some around the universe, humanoid, different color skin, different color eyes, different heights, shapes, sizes, the grays, the stereotypical gray aliens that have the gray skin and maybe are about 5 feet in height with big dark eyes, and many different variations of them. Some that are kind of more like aquatic beings like you might find in an Aquaman movie. I was looking at one yesterday, and they make them about every week or so. Astro Legends TV does. And these beings, and they even know the names and what part of the universe they're from, the constellation, the planet. But they make that stuff up. It's very creative, you know. It's fascinating, really. And so every life here on Earth, every species, whether it's the fish in the ocean or birds in the sky, birds, you know, on this planet, or reptiles or amphibians or mammals or insects, even insects, they're all involved in the evolutionary process. You've got to believe me. I'm telling you the truth. All throughout the universe, there are the same kind of, there is the same kind of life, and there is some life that we have no idea of, that we can't even imagine, that's out there waiting to be discovered and explored. These extraterrestrial beings, a good majority of them, that's what they do. They travel around the universe and they find this life and they document it. They monitor it and observe it over a certain period to see if they take any steps into outer space, and they want to ensure that space is a peaceful domain, so they might not let some ferocious species take that step into outer space because they don't want them to bring conflict and war to space. That's why sometimes I don't like hearing about the Star Wars movie. You know, people that have that aggressive tendency, people who are warmongers, if you will, there is no room in outer space, my friends, for fighting. Although there is fighting, there is war going on, but the more peaceful, powerful extraterrestrial species to prevent that and keep it at a minimum. There are some species that have been involved with conflict for millions of years, you know. Fighting is not just unique to here on Earth. It is happening and has happened all over the universe, especially the species that are in their first stages of evolution. It's pretty commonplace for them to be fighting amongst each other because usually it's got to do with money and technology, and sometimes they have to enslave some of the people that are not as, let's put it this way, advantageous as they are. And that's what's happened here on Earth. You know, the Egyptians enslaved the Hebrew people, and here in the United States, the black people were enslaved in the 1800s and before then. It's because of the money system back then. There wasn't a lot of money, so if you wanted to run, say, a plantation, for example, then you would hire that human labor because it really wasn't enough money to go around. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that it's right. It was wrong, enslaving people. That's probably one of the worst sins to commit as a species on a planet, other than cannibalism, you know. But it happens, and it has happened throughout the universe with other species. But eventually they evolve, and their technology improves, and they become space travelers, and they achieve a level of intelligence where they know how to deal with conflict of any kind. And there is no need, once you have reached that level of intelligence, to have conflict with any species or be involved with war with another species, because you have achieved that absolute intelligence to where you know how to handle every situation in a peaceful way. And you have the technology to prevent being attacked, and the technology to even what they call become beings of a particular planet. Let's just say, for example, two species were involved in interstellar conflict. And it had been going on for a long time with many, many casualties, you know. And so you wanted to stop it because too many innocent when men, women, and children were, in that particular species were being killed. So they alter themselves to resemble beings of that species, kind of like in Avatar, you know, when they were able to slip their astral beings, if you will, into those big blue bodies. The same kind of principles involved there, if you know what I mean. And then knowing what they have to do, they involve themselves in many areas of society as necessary, into the government, and mix among them and change things for the better and sabotage certain instruments of war and disrupt any violent tendencies, to including, you know, what's going on at that time and what may happen in the future, And therefore, they're able to stop that conflict. That's how advanced they are. Just imagine being able to, like an Avatar, slip yourself into another species, another body, any kind of body that the Creator has made throughout the universe. And there are so many different bodies, not only sentient beings, but also animal life throughout the universe. On some of the more advanced planets, like, for example, Thiouba, T-H-I-A-O-U-B-A, that is a Category 9 planet on a scale of 1 to 9, where number 1 is the lowest on the evolutionary ladder, and the number 9 is the highest. When you reach that highest level of planet throughout the universe, you'll find that the animal life is peaceful. They live in harmony with each other. They don't eat each other. And also, the plant life has evolved. Believe it or not, you might find trees that are 600 feet tall. And it's a peaceful, peaceful environment, peaceful harmony, harmonious environment. And there's nothing but pure water and air. There's no polluted water anywhere, or no air pollution. And they live in peace and love amongst each other. They love each other. They adore each other. Why can't we be like them? You know, I mean, each of us is alive. We're alive. You know, and we don't have a lot of respect for life. We've come a long way. We've made progress. But that respect for life, I've seen it before. It's not where it's supposed to be, you know. The respect for life should be there so that we're not disrespecting anything the Creator has created. And, you know, with war and killing, like what's going on in Palestine right now, the Palestinians that have been slaughtered as a result of the attack by Hamas on the Jewish people in that settlement last October the 7th, October 7th, 2023. I'm going to take a drink. That's not the way it should be. An over-retaliation, if you will. Revenge, too much revenge, you know, not an even or fair amount. The Bible says an eye for an eye. Actually, revenge should be in the hand of the Creator, you know, the Mother and Father God on this planet, in this solar system. You have co-creator gods of solar systems, and then you have the Creator of the universe who initiated the Big Bang. We are co-creator gods in the making through that process of reincarnation, one life after the other, until we achieve that level of perfection where we can be co-creator gods and have our own patch of outer space, which is infinite, by the way. The borders of infinite space are expanding as we talk. And so going back to the Palestinians, that kind of conflict goes on. All those innocent men, women, and children, over 40,000, when you think 1,400 Israelis and 40,000 Palestinians, there's something wrong with that, and it's still going on. They're still killing them. And there's war going on in Ukraine right now. That value of life, my point was, it's just not where it should be because we don't love each other. We don't understand each other. And we have to love and understand each ourselves to begin with. But know that we are, just like the Bible says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, a heart that beats independently of our wills, a beautiful heart that sometimes can last many, many years, a lifetime, up to 100 years and more. And the miles and miles of veins we have in our body, that blood is pumped through, lungs that purify the air and purify the blood, and brains that are just like the most complex computer that we have. That makes the comparison of our brain with the most advanced human computer is a vulgar comparison, if you know what I mean. The human brain is such an amazing, if you want to compare it to computer, if you will, it is just really unbelievable how complex it is. So we are indeed perfectly and wonderfully made. We are amazing beings. We are alive. And it's such a waste to kill somebody because we don't have the intellect to resolve our differences peacefully. But that is what evolution is all about, my friends. And it's a slow process. And we're getting there. And we need help. You know, we could make contact with those extraterrestrials. That is an option. I'm going to take a drink. But they're waiting for us to take that step to that next level of evolution before they make contact with us, because it'll be just like in the movie, I'm telling you, The Day the Earth Stood Still. If you haven't seen that movie, check it out, please. There's the old version back in the 50s, I think 1951 or 52, and the new one back around maybe 2009 with Keanu Reeves. That would be exactly what happened, my friend. What would happen if a flying saucer, a huge spaceship, landed somewhere near Washington, somewhere in Washington, D.C., near the White House, maybe on the front lawn? It would be surrounded within minutes by the National Guard, weaponry, the police with their weapons out and ready to fire, and tanks and artillery pieces and anything you could think of would be there waiting for them to make that first move. Guaranteed. So how would you feel? Let's say if you were them. You wanted to come down here and say, try to initiate peaceful contact. All it takes, just like in the movie, is someone with an itchy trigger finger, and then all hell would break loose. And even though our weapons probably couldn't harm their spaceship because it's made out of material that we don't know anything about and could repel the bullets and rounds or whatever that were fired against it, so how would you feel if you were trying to be peaceful and all of a sudden someone was trying to kill you, you know? You get what I mean? You understand what I'm saying? So they're waiting for us to take that next step in our evolution, and we have to prove to them first that we're ready, you know? And there's so many different things that we can do to get to that level of evolution, like clean up our pollution, for one thing, you know, our air and water pollution, and save the babies that are being killed unnecessarily through abortion. That's life, my friends. It's a very contentious subject, and I understand that. And you have pro-lifers and you have the pro-choices. But if you're not pro-life, then you're the opposite of that. And there's a reason why. There's a reason why they call it pro-life. Because that life, and I understand about everything else as to why it needs to happen sometimes, and the rape and the incest and the danger to the mother, but that's the value of life I was talking about. You were a baby once. in your mother's womb for 9 months. If you had been aborted, you wouldn't be here right now. You would just be like a little wisp of smoke disappearing. Like in the movie It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart. If you were never born, things would be different. But we weren't aborted. And miscarried children, too. You know where they go? They go to back up to the spirit realm. And they're in the spirit. And they return there. And they wait for another opportunity to be born. My point is that the babies that are in the mother's womb have a soul and a spirit, and that's what our science hasn't proven, that we do have a soul, and it's an eternal soul, and it lasts forever. And as the brain is to the body, so the soul is to the spirit. It's like a immaterial brain, if you will, made out of electrons. And it's got that little infinitesimal spark of the Creator that helps it shine. And when we get to the afterlife, you will see that you shine with a certain intensity of light, depending on the level of your evolution. And you will see, like the mother and father God, our spirit parents, they shine with a light that is so bright that it will wash over you with a glory and a brilliance that you won't be able to withstand, like a hurricane force wind, like putting yourself in a hurricane with maybe 90, 100 mile an hour winds, and just try to stand there, and it'll knock you over. That's how light can react to spirits, or how spirits will react to that intensity of light. If they can't withstand it, they'll have to prostrate themselves on the ground. It'll wash over them, because it is a force to be reckoned with. Light is a natural substance, my friends. And our mother and father God, they shine with a level of light that is commensurate with their level of evolution. So you have to understand, that's why, one of the reasons why we're here is to increase the intensity of our light. We were born here, let's say, for example, and I've said this before in other shows, but for the benefit of those who are tuning in for the first time, let's say that you're born into this world as a baby and you make your way through this lifetime with a 60-watt intensity soul, light bulb soul. You understand what I'm saying? And let's say you live to be 90 years old, and then you pass away, you head off into the afterlife, to the spirit world, and then your soul will shine with a higher intensity light. As you meet, I'm going to take a drink. Other spirits there in the spirit realm or in heaven on the sun, which is the matrix of our solar system, the source of light. So we will return to the light, that light at the end of the tunnel. Once you lose your five physical senses, all you're going to be aware of is the light that shines out there in the solar system and other suns too. But we, our spirits and souls, were born on the sun. Maybe not this sun, because there are some souls who are well-traveled, advanced souls, also known as mystic travelers, who were born on other suns in the universe. And that's what they do. They go back to different levels of evolution, a lower level of evolution, to help people out, like what Jesus did, who was a soul from an advanced planet, returned to Earth to die on the cross. And I think that's an appropriate time to talk about Jesus. I'll just spend a little time talking about him. Actually, the Jesus who was born in Bethlehem all those years ago was a real baby, you know, that had to have his diapers changed every once in a while, you know. And he was an advanced soul. However, he was born into this world, so he came through the river of oblivion, and therefore he did not have the knowledge necessary to perform all the miracles that Jesus would later perform. Stay with me. I'm getting to where I'm needing to go. just stay with me. So there was a lot of things that went on during that time. The Mother Mary was artificially inseminated by these extraterrestrials, artificially inseminated, it's true. And the plan was that baby Jesus would be a miracle in and of, the birth of the baby Jesus would be a miracle in and of itself. And there were some encounters with angels, which was actually orchestrated by these extraterrestrials who are capable of transforming themselves into what appear like angelic beings, if you will, like the ones that appeared before the shepherds. And according to my research, the three kings actually didn't happen. That was part of a story created to put some embellishment in it, if you will. Believe it or not, you're entitled to your opinion, my friend. And the Star of Bethlehem was an extraterrestrial probe rendered luminous. It couldn't have been anything else, because heavenly bodies are always constantly in motion. And this particular light, as I said, it was an extraterrestrial probe rendered luminous, stopped above the manger and where Jesus was born, approximately 300-400 feet above the ground, and shone a light down on the manger. So you see, there was a lot of extraterrestrial intervention in our past, not only there, but also with Moses, the parting of the Red Sea, and all the other things that Moses did to try to get the Hebrews released from Egypt. These extraterrestrials, as I mentioned, are the guardians of, like the guardians of the galaxy, the guardians of our planet. They are one of the three most technologically and spiritually advanced in our Milky Way galaxy, and they've been given guardianship over our planet. I'm going to take a drink. And so they orchestrated all of that back then to include the artificial insemination of Mother Mary. And how else do you think it could have happened? People just don't give it a lot of thought, you know, as to how scientifically something like that can happen. And in the material world, things are supposed to function on a scientific level. So there's your science for you. That's what happened. These extraterrestrials are much more advanced than we are technologically. They've been in existence for hundreds of millions of years longer than we have. So logically, they would have that higher level of technology. And it comes down to that, really, it's just a difference in the level of technology. When you talk about the parting of the Red Sea or artificial insemination or the appearance of what they thought were angelic beings to the shepherds. That's what you call good technology, my friends. Science, at a level of science that we're not familiar with. And so the baby Jesus was born, and his mission, basically speaking, was to impress the people of that time. But that was just the beginning of the plan. Even though he was supposed to be the Messiah, he had limited capability, shall we say, because, as I mentioned, being born to the River of Oblivion, he did not have the knowledge in his mind necessary to perform miracles. And the people back then, in order to change them and also change history, that would preserve that story of the birth of Jesus and the dying on the cross throughout the centuries, miracles had to be performed so that they would believe. But at age 12, him and his brother, Yuriki, set forth to China, Burma, and India, and he wound up in Japan. His brother died, and Jesus, who was born in Bethlehem, died at a ripe old age of 90-some years old in a city in Japan. I think it was called Honshu. He had a family, had children, got married, had children. But before he left there, he did indeed impress the Pharisees and Sadducees and all the people of that stage back then with his knowledge, because he was indeed an advanced soul. But then many years later, enter the scene the extraterrestrial from the planet Kaya Uba, whose name was Arioch. He was an advanced soul living on the planet, perfectly satisfied with his life, having achieved that almost near level of perfection through the reincarnation cycle. And he was asked if he would volunteer for a assignment, if you will, to come to Earth to help the people of Earth who were going through a very difficult time. I'm going to take a drink. Indeed, the people of Earth were going through a very difficult time back then. There was a lot of evil, so-called evil. I say that with quotation marks, because it's not really good to call our fellow human beings evil, although they can appear to be that way. There was a lot of killing and violence and sexual immorality going on, even bestiality, people that were having sex with animals. And so the time was ripe for divine intervention, a very special kind that was orchestrated by these extraterrestrials. And so, like I said, in the movie Avatar, where those beings transformed themselves into the blue bodies, or inserted their astral beings or spirits, if you will, into those blue bodies, that same principle existed for the man who eventually would come to Earth as Jesus and perform his 3-year ministry, was that advanced soul whose spirit was inserted into a body, a human body made by the, what we would understand as the elders of that planet, the most sophisticated leaders, spiritual leaders of that planet, who have the knowledge to create bodies, actual bodies, human bodies or other bodies within a very short period of time. And his body then was inserted into a human body that resembled what Jesus looked like at age some 30 years old. I imagine they're very creative when creating a body, so that he did resemble what Jesus resembled, the one that had gone to Japan, if you know what I mean. Facial characteristics, mannerisms, behaviors, similar to that Jesus, so that the people of that time would be convinced that this was the same man. Do you understand what I'm saying? And of course, he had to learn the language, but these beings are very intelligent and know how to do that through different methods. Now, if we want to learn a different language, we have other methods that are available to us that will assist us in learning a new language, similar, but on a much more advanced level. And technology, again, is a factor that can assist in that. And so, under the cover of darkness, I imagine approximately 17 years or 18 years later, after the baby Jesus, who had grown up to be 12 years old, left the region and went to eventually winding up in Japan, enter the scene Jesus from the planet Kaya Uba, who was physically altered to resemble a human being in the mold of Jesus, who had left the area of Galilee, and 18 years later, what he would have somewhat resembled as an adult rather than an adolescent or a teenager. Everything was taken into consideration when creating that human body, and it's a very complicated process. There are different kinds of bodies that go into that process: the astral body, the fluidic body, the physiological body, the astrophysical body. All these bodies have to be carefully interwoven, if you will, just like in the movie Avatar, those blue bodies. I'm going to take a drink. we're fearfully and wonderfully made too. You know, you have to get everything working in harmony. The heart beating, the blood flowing, the brain working, the eyes functioning, all of that. Done with a level of care that is almost incomprehensible. So enter the new Jesus, dropped under the cover of darkness, probably near the Sea of Galilee or maybe the River Jordan, one of his missions. And they had previewed everything that would happen. They knew exactly what would happen. He would be constantly in contact with the extraterrestrial spaceship, which would be out of sight up above, probably behind the clouds, maybe 10,000 feet or more above the ground, constantly in communication with them in case he needed any assistance, like the times where he was being attacked, they were trying to stone him, and they couldn't find him. All of a sudden, he disappeared. Does that ever make you wonder how that happened? Or when he, after the resurrection, when he appeared in the womb, when the doors closed, did you ever wonder about how that possible? Probably not. Didn't give a lot of thought. And I understand. That's okay. Well, I'm explaining to you now how it was done. If you don't want to believe it, that's up to you. But when you have a spaceship assisting you, just like in Star Trek, that has beaming capabilities, they can beam you anywhere, beam you out of a location, beam you somewhere else, beam you up above. It's true. They have that technology. They didn't just make that up for nothing. Gene Roddenberry, who created Star Trek, was a very enlightened man. They knew something about that because, remember Roswell, 1947? We learned a lot from that. And then subsequent spacecraft crashes throughout the United States and around the world. We had a sharing of technology with some gray aliens from the Zeta Reticuli star system. They shared their technology with us. The U.S. government is not telling us everything they know about extraterrestrial beings, that there is, first of all, life out there, my friends. Now, that's not something you really want to hold back from people and say, well, you just can't handle the truth, you know. Anyway, back to Jesus. So his mission was, first of all, to get baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan. And that way, get introduced to the people as the new Messiah, and then get his disciples on board. And all the while, performing the miracles and just making an impression with the people. He knew that what he was doing would last. Not only that time until he was killed on the cross and then resurrected and then ascended up into the spaceship and disappeared, that it would be necessary to really make an impression with the people there so that they would write about him afterwards, and that legacy would last throughout the centuries. And even now today, we're still worshiping Jesus. I'm going to go to church tomorrow. We're going to be talking about Jesus and what he did and the baby being born in Bethlehem. But some people don't understand the correlation between what I just explained to you, the baby Jesus and the Jesus that died on the cross, two separate beings. And the Jesus that died on the cross was indeed that extraterrestrial being whose soul and spirit had been inserted into that physical body. And that was the plan. He had to die. Because that was the ultimate miracle that people would never forget. That would reverberate, that resurrection, that incredible miracle, reverberate throughout the centuries down the road. In fact, I would dare to say that we wouldn't be here today. None of us would. Our civilization, our society, would not exist today if not for what that man did by volunteering to come to planet Earth, insert himself into that human body, that spirit and that soul of Arioch. I mentioned the name before. Perform those miracles, whether it was turning water into wine, walking on the water, calming the sea, feeding the people in the Sermon on the Mount, curing the leopards, curing the blind, curing the paralyzed. We wouldn't be here today if he hadn't have done what he did. If he hadn't performed those miracles, people wouldn't have believed in him. And that is really what kept us alive and going throughout the years. Not to mention that if he hadn't showed up, if that whole plan, the baby being born in Bethlehem, the man dying on the cross, I think the civilization back then was on the road to self-destruction through its evilness, if you will, as I mentioned, the different things. They would have killed themselves off, and then we wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't exist. So during that three-year ministry of Jesus, before he was crucified and resurrected, and you might ask, how was he resurrected? Well, let me take a drink first. First of all, there's no doubt he was dead. And before I go on, every single miracle can be explained. Every single miracle can be explained in a way that includes technology, my friends, and with assistance from those extraterrestrials up above. It can be explained by simply when he was buried in the tomb. And I know this might not be an appropriate time of the year to talk about it, since we're only about to celebrate the birth of Jesus instead. He was beamed out of the tomb. Of course, the rolling the stone away didn't take very much technology to perform that. There are beams. They have different types of beams, not only beaming beams, but also kind of like tractor beams and different levels of intensity beams, and moving a stone out of the way is no big deal for them, not at all. And it's all about matter transformation, and you have to know the smallest particles that exist before you can do that. We don't yet know the smallest particles that exist. So he was beamed out of the tomb into the spaceship. His heart had stopped beating, his body had stopped functioning. Well, just like with that same process, they created the body, they repaired the body, they left the holes in his wrists and the ankles that he was nailed onto the cross with nails. They left them there to show that he was indeed the same person that was crucified, so that people would indeed believe more, if you know what I mean. And then they restored the life to the body. Arioch slipped his astral being back into that body, kind of like the same process again that happened in Avatar. And he was beamed close to where the grave was, and Mary and Mary Magdalene, Martha, was it Mary? The two Marys met him, and they sent a message back to the disciples that they had seen him, and that they would meet him later. He beamed into that room where they were at twice, the first time without Thomas there, and he had them touch his wounds and the wound on his side, which were more or less healed, but they were still there visible for them to see. And then after that, I think if I have my facts correct, Thomas saw him the second time, and he didn't believe when they told him because he wasn't there the first time, but when he saw for himself the wounds, and he got the chance to touch them, and Jesus said to him, look, touch my wounds. Stop your disbelieving. Think about the people that didn't have the opportunity to touch my wounds and talk with me. Think about the faith that they have to believe him in. You're seeing me, and so believe, my friends, believe that Jesus back then was real. And so then the next time I think he met them was on the Sea of Galilee. And they had been out all night fishing, very, very depressed because I think they had seen him, and then he disappeared. And they were told that they would see him next on the Sea of Galilee. And so they went out fishing, and they didn't know when he would show up. And they fished all night. They didn't catch anything. And they were there by the shore, and there was someone walking. They couldn't see his face because he had his hood on. And he yelled out to them, "Hey, did you catch anything?" "Not a thing. We've been fishing all night." And he said, "Well, throw your nets out on the right side." Or was it the left side? I think the left side. And so they considered that for a few moments. And so they said, "What the heck? Give it a try." Threw the net out, and all of a sudden, the net was full of fish. And then Peter put two and two together. He said, "It's Jesus." And he jumped off the boat and swam to the shore. And they brought the boat to the shore, dragging all the fish that they'd caught. And they realized it was Jesus. And so he took them back to a fire where he had created a fire to eat. He took them back to a fire he created, and they had some food on the fire. He had some bread. He had some fish. And he said, "Bring some more fish," because he didn't have enough. And so they brought some fish, and they sat down, and they had breakfast together. And among other things that they talked about, Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Do you love me?" Three times he said. I think he said that specifically three times because he wanted to redeem him from the three times that he denied him. And so each time Peter said, "Yes, God, you know I'm Lord, you know I love you." And the last time he kind of broke down because he didn't quite understand why he was asking that three times. But then later, I think he wouldn't. The reason that he said that to Peter, you know, and every time he said, "Do you love me?" Peter said, "I love you." He said, "Look after my sheep." And that was another purpose besides redeeming himself, because he knew that Peter would be the leader going forward after Jesus left the scene. And they would go forth and spread the gospel throughout the world, and also that they would be persecuted and they would have to endure pain and torture, but just to keep the faith and look after my sheep. Those were, I think he meant everyone, you know, all the people. Those were Jesus' sheep, all the people that needed to be converted, that needed to believe that the Jesus that died on the cross was indeed the Messiah, if you will, the one who had performed all the miracles. And so shortly after that, Jesus ascended. And there's a really good movie you should check out called Risen, R-I-S-E-N. It's a pretty incredible movie. I really enjoyed it, good acting. And right there at the end, and just envision this story, if you will, Jesus knows his time has come where he is going to depart, the disciples, and they have to be on their own. This time for good, not like before the resurrection. Hold on, please. I'm going to take a drink. So they're there with him, and he gets them in a circle. And he breathed on them. Now, I'm not sure if he did that when he was in the womb or before the ascension, but I'm just creating it in a way that makes an impression with you, because whether it was one or the other, just imagine what a faith builder that would be to be right next to the resurrected Jesus and have him breathe on you and feel his breath on your face. What a faith builder that would be, don't you think? But they'd already seen all the miracles he performed. They saw that he died on the cross. They were there. They saw his body brought down from the cross, and there was no doubt in their minds that he was dead. His heart had stopped, and he was buried in that tomb. But then he was born. He was born again, resurrected. Forget the born again. He was resurrected, just like how I told you. That's exactly how it happened, and that's the truth. And so he was with them there at the end, and there was maybe a rushing of wind, and he started slowly to rise off the ground, very easily explained with the level of extraterrestrial technology that was beaming down from up above, and they didn't understand. Of course, Jesus knew exactly what was going on. All they saw was that he was lifting off the ground, and he said, "I'm going to be with you forever." have your faith. Go for it. Spread the word. Spread the gospel. Make people believe that I was real. You saw it for yourself. I give you power to cast out demons, to heal people. Go forth and do these things in my name. As he rose up from the ground and went higher and higher and higher up into the clouds and disappeared out of sight. And so they must have been flabbergasted, you know, looking at themselves, and maybe sat down and just for maybe hours, just digesting, internalizing what they'd just seen, what they'd experienced over the years, those 3 years at ministry. And so Peter, who was the leader, said, okay, well, that's what we got to do, my friends. Let's go be fisher of men. Let's go forth and do what Jesus wanted us to do. And they did. And just like Jesus had said, they were persecuted. And they were tortured. And they had to endure a lot of pain and agony. But they got a following going that's lasted now throughout the centuries until today. And every year we celebrate the birth of Jesus, even though people don't understand the whole picture, and that's okay. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. You have free will, my friends. If what I've said has any, even the slightest little inkling of logic in it, even the slightest little inkling of logic in it, then I implore you, I ask you to consider it as the truth, because I have no gain in this. I'm receiving no money. Why would I make up a story like that? And you can find all of that information in a book called Abduction to the Ninth Planet, or the Thiaouba Prophecy, T-H-I-A-O-U-B-A, that planet I was telling you about, where these extraterrestrials are from. Don't take my word for it. If you really are interested in learning what the truth is, read that book. It will tell you just what I've said. And not only read it once, but read it several times, my friends. If you want to increase your spirituality and evolve your soul, read that book. Because like I mentioned, I'm going to take a drink. We are here not to enjoy ourselves and have freedom and pleasure. We are here only to increase our soul's light. We are here to develop spiritually. That's why there's darkness. Imagine that. We have a world rotating on an axis by some unknown, unseen power that gives us half a day of light, the blessed daytime, the sacred nighttime. And we have a planet, that same planet, revolving around the sun, a world on fire. And don't forget, your spirit is made of light energy. It's made of billions of electrons. So when you pop out of your body someday, my friends, and it will happen, guaranteed, I tell you the truth, your spirit will pop out of your body. You will see that it shines with the light. You're made of light energy. And where is the source of light energy in our solar system, I ask you, logically? There's only one world on fire out there. But it's not a fire like when you light a match. It's a very special fire. It's the fire of the creator of the universe, who has put all these cosmic laws and forces into effect that we can utilize, that we can know how to manipulate if we have the knowledge. And that knowledge has to be acquired through the process of reincarnation from one life after another on different planets throughout the universe, different levels of evolution from 1 to 9 until you reach that level of perfection. But even then, you might go back to a planet of a lower evolutionary category like Arioch did, from a 9 to a 1, to help people out. It's all about helping each other to grow and to grow our souls, our light, our spirits. Even though the spirit is kind of like the physical body, it really doesn't grow. It's the soul that grows. And the universe is so incomprehensibly large. And as I've said in my changing my show's title from The Church of the Soul's Evolution to The Universe of the Soul's Evolution, that's what it is. It's a universe like a university, the university of the universe. Each planet is like a school of learning, here on planet Earth, a level one, category one. We're here to learn basic social values and learn how to love each other. So love each other, my friends. Adore each other. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. We are alive. Okay, here's a prayer. Creator of the universe, I go out to the evening outside. I look up. I see the stars. I know that you are alive. You are real. Please bless us, everyone, this time of the year. Help us in any way we need it. We love you. Goodbye, everybody. Talk to you next week. Take care. Bye-bye.